You're listening to Federal Prison Authority Presents Around the Block with Bruce Cameron and Susan Giddings, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Around the Block. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Susan Giddings. We have an exciting show for you today.
Yeah.
Everybody ask questions. This all kind of connects to some degree with a lot of the questions that we have on our Facebook group about
Absolutely.
A loved one got sentenced for 27 months, nonviolent, and how much time is this guy or gal gonna serve, and what does that actually mean? So one piece of that, you know, obviously the 54 days a year good conduct time is one small sliver for mankind. But then the second piece of that, if they are FSA eligible and understanding the time credit worksheet.
Yes.
Right, Susan?
Yes.
The time credit worksheet.
It continues to challenge because it keeps getting updated and modified. And on the upside, that means there's more information and more data and more transparency so people know what's going on. But on the downside, it's a lot of dates and a lot of days, and it can get kind of confusing. So we thought it would be, we've talked about them before. We actually talk about the time credit worksheets in our book, Unlocking Federal Time Credits, second edition. But we don't talk about that last piece, the newest stuff, because of course our book was released in May, and they rolled out the new stuff in late July. So, but we did talk about the problem actually. So let's kind of dive in. So, for any viewers at home, I know we posted on Facebook, and hopefully they saw it and they've got that time credit worksheet in front of them so they can follow along as we talk about it, because that's going to be really the most helpful. Every time we talk to a client and they start talking to us about days and dates, and we ask, you know, are you looking at their worksheet? Did they send it home? And I encourage folks in the institution and to be sending those copies home to their family so their families can
please
talk
yes.
on their behalf. But the first thing we ask question is, what's the assessment date? And that assessment date appears in the upper right-hand quarter of the form for, on the front page there, right below the institution identifier, upper right, my right, your
yeah,
right.
Somebody's
right. And it has a date on there. And that's really important. Because when we're wanting to know, when we're talking about information on that form, we want to know how recent it is. In the last several months, there have been multiple changes. Some of them is new stuff, like the home confinement information. Some of it was the changes that occurred with the refining that last 30 days to make that conditional release date calculator the most accurate it is. But then there have been other changes over time in terms of different things. And so, you know, there are times that we talk to somebody and that time credit worksheet that they have from their family member is from last year, you know, and we're like, okay, there has been a whole lot of updates, you know. So again, look at that assessment worksheet date. And that changes every month that the credit is updated. And as just a reminder, time credit worksheets are no longer only updated that last weekend of the month. That was one of the changes this summer. They're now updated as each person is hitting their 30 days, which means credits are being applied much quicker. People are getting to take advantage of those credits.
As they hit their 30 days, not like some 30 day.
Right. Where before it used to be, accumulated 30 days? Have you accumulated 30 days when the time credit calculator was run? Now it's because they were able to do a whole lot of computer coding stuff that we're not even going to try to repeat. And, you know, words like code and cache and all kinds of other fun stuff, but they were able to tighten it up so that it could run nightly. And because it runs nightly, it is capturing those changes. So sometime at, I don't know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, that credit is being updated. And so come the morning, there's credit being posted, or the quota is now, the person can see that credit. For folks in the community, there is still a delay. So your family member may be talking about their date changing and you're not seeing it, just logging into the BOP website because there is a delay. So let's talk about that worksheet. So okay. Part of it has stayed the same, right? First line on there, projected release date and projected release method. Tried and true, good old fashioned, good conduct time. For those serving less than 12 months in one day, it's going to say full term. For those getting the RDAP program, it's going to be that 3621E release method. Okay. Excuse me. If they're still in the institution and they haven't had a halfway house date, it's going to say 3621E conditional. That's that.
There you go.
For individuals who are not getting time credits, they have that information, whether they're not getting it because they're ineligible or they're not getting them because they're medium or high risk and they're earning it, but it's not applying. But everyone will have that good conduct time or that full term information. Then we jump down to the FSA projected release date. This is the current date that's going to be reflected on the public website. For those who are RDAP, this is that FS RDAP conditional date or the FS RDAP release date. For those not getting RDAP, it's just going to be that FSA release method. And again, just like good conduct time, it's two lines. It has a date for the date and the method. That's what's there. That is now the date with the earned credit applied. So what have you already accumulated in terms of time credits that can be applied to release? So again, if you're medium or high risk, you're earning, but being applied to release. So there's nothing there. It's a big NA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, come down to the next date. That is the conditional release date. That is for those folks who haven't hit 365 days of credits earned and their release date is changing monthly. The FSA conditional release date, which is the next line down, is the is the date that they're gonna get eventually.
If everything is earned.
Check every 30 days that your worksheet is updated, all of this is updated. So if you go out, if you have an appendectomy and are out of the institution for 3 days, your programming days those 24-hour intervals that you're out of the office, right? Those full 24-hour days that you're out of the prison are no longer programming days because you're out of pocket. Now, will that make a difference? In a lot of cases, it won't. We have a client who was out for 29 days. That made a difference. That was the difference in 10 days because they were out of pocket that whole time.
Now, before we move on, so this date, this isn't front loading, or is it front loading?
It is not front loading. Why? Oops, don't want to spill my coffee. That'd be bad. It is not front loaded. It is a presumption. They're calling it conditional because it is conditioned on nothing changing. Now, if you are an individual, and we talked about this, I think 2 weeks ago, who's on the front end of your sentence and you're earning 10 days because you haven't had your two back-to-back assessments yet, it's going to calculate your date on the condition that you are earning 10 days for your entire term of incarceration. Why? Because it doesn't know if something is going to happen. Each time it runs, it is a snapshot. What have you earned? How much time do you have remaining to serve? What is your earning rate? If your earning rate is 10 days, then it calculates the entire sentence at the 10-day rate. And that's real, real important to remember because it's going to change. And that's what we talked about last week and how that kind of creates a challenge for shorter sentence individuals with shorter sentences and trying to get halfway house paperwork done. So we're clear on that. It is not front loaded, period, not at all. So I'm going to complain a little bit about the FSA calculators that are out there.
Oh.
Okay. They ask you to plug in this information and they give you information like it is gospel. You're going to get this many days. I cannot tell you how many different times I have run scenarios on them and there's an error. It may be a few days. It may not be a lot. But when you're going into it and you're told you're going to get 192 days of good conduct time, and I can do the math, and you're not, and you're not, those right. days make a difference. Now, okay, that's you know, maybe it's not 192, it's 186. Okay, that's only 6 days. That's 6 days that you're not getting, which means that's six more programming days that you might have. So you might not get it in good conduct time, but now because the programming days are there, could those 6 days mean the difference in you getting an additional 15 days of time credits?
Absolutely.
Yes. Does that make a difference? 100%. So
absolutely.
Please, I mean, if you are using those calculators, please take
right.
use them with an extremely and large grain of salt.
Just so you know, because this is behind the scenes stuff you don't see that I see, because I'm the one deleting these at least two or three times a day. I'm not necessarily suspending the members for spreading incorrect information, but I take off the post. So if you did that and you put some calculator date on, I took it off. If you see your post has been removed, that's why, because it just, we got
it
thousands of members.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thousands
just,
of members. And it just breeds a lot of problems. So
absolutely. There was one I looked at that didn't give on a 12-month sentence, gave 54 days of good conduct time. When we all know you got to have 12 months in a day. If you have 54 days, you get zero good conduct time. If you have 12 months in a day, you get 54. That's how it works. So yeah. So again, they're close, but the errors they make then get extrapolated throughout the rest of the calculation, because if they made a mistake at the top with good conduct time, that mistake just carries all the way through. Okay. Because why? Because when we're looking at FSA, we're looking at programming days, and the programming right. days don't include the good conduct time, which is front loaded, that takes off the end. So if you have a 12 month and a day sentence and you're getting good conduct time, you are actually serving just
less,
you know, less. That's 54 days right. less. So you're looking at, you're serving a little over 10 months, right? So now you have 10 months and some days available to earn time credits, versus the person who is serving a flat 12 month sentence, they actually have 12 months to earn those programming days. They have them and they're not earning, like, let me make this statement now. You are not earning for the entire 12 months, because as time is coming off, as you're earning the credit, the amount of days remaining to serve is shrinking each month. And that's the difference, the huge difference between federal time credits and good conduct time. Just had a case, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, convinced he was missing about 400 days. And before they hired us, we said, we can almost guarantee you he's wrong. If you're off by 5, 10, yeah. 20, 30 days, that's one thing. But when you're talking 400 days, 99% of the time, it's the person. Not necessarily that they didn't math it correctly, but they didn't use the right strategies to do the calculation, right? And that was the case. But we did give them kind of a heads up. The likelihood of him being correct was
right.
slim. But anyway. So moving on. Now, the next section after we get through, and if you remember in the old worksheet, it included days earning toward early release in that thing. Because they started adding more data and more information, they made the decision to take some of the days, some of the information off, right? So you go right from FSA conditional release date into the SCA. And prior to the start of this year and the new administration, the number of SCA days that appeared would default to 365, which meant, despite the asterisks, despite the two paragraphs above it in bold print, everybody saw 365 days, saw a date, and considered it gospel. And then, you know, I can't tell you how many times we had to explain, like, no, those aren't guaranteed. So when the administration of changed and the Bureau, even before the new director was selected, that was one of the first changes. The reason was a belief of transparency, that people would know ultimately what was the maximum amount of credit under the Second Chance, or I should say placement days under the Second Chance Act. It didn't work like that. People saw 365 days and were like, it's 365 days.
And ran with it.
And then when the unit team recommended 6 months or 5 months, it was, wait a minute, I have 365 days. No, no, you don't. And, you know, we point to the paragraph. Five-factor review. So they pulled that back. That was a bad decision. Understand the rationale for it, but it didn't work. So now when you look at a time credit worksheet, the default for Second Chance Act is 0 days. Because under the law, you can receive anywhere from nothing.
Zero to
365. Now, when you look at those, both of those, both the number of days and the date, so it defaults to zero and the date is not applicable because nothing, and there's an asterisk by it because nothing's been done. Okay. That asterisk means the five-factor review hasn't been completed. Now, by not completed, I don't mean that the case manager didn't have a conversation in team with your loved one regarding halfway house. What I'm saying is the case manager didn't click the button that says, is this person recommended for Second Chance Act placement? Yes or no? Yes. And then a dialogue box opens up and they're supposed to enter a number. That's what wasn't happened. And unless that is done, unless those two buttons are clicked, that asterisk remains. Asterisk. Now, when do they do that? When should they be doing that? The unit management manual. That is available on the BOP.gov public website talks about 27 months out from the individual's release date. I can tell you that policy was written and negotiated and published before having the conditional placement date.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's important to remember, because when we were doing that, and I say we because I was part of that.
You were there.
I was part of the team that did the LMR. We increased that date with the idea that if the case managers were looking at 27 months out from the conditional release date, it would take some time to get to actually exceed that date, because we didn't have a conditional placement date then. You know, the conditional placement date only released in October of 2024. So we just didn't have that information, and we knew it was being worked on, but we didn't know how quickly it would be coming out. And we needed to make sure we were having case managers look at halfway house placement far enough in advance so that a recommendation could be made and paperwork could be done and we get out of the institution on time. Now, jump ahead on the fall, we now have the conditional placement date. So when we'll talk about that in a second, but on the form, after the conditional release date is the SEA recommended placement days and date. For individuals who are not receiving any FSA toward halfway house, this date's going to be populated once the unit team makes a recommendation. So if the unit team recommends a 4-month placement, that's 120 days. The computer automatically, we don't have the case manager's mathing. The computer automatically says 120 days back from the FSA conditional date. That means you're looking at an FSA placement date of X. And that allows the case manager to plan accordingly to get their paperwork done. By policy, they have to complete that paperwork 60 days in advance. Yes.
On the 210, is there a separate area now for how much on that recommended placement of, and how much of that should be SEA? Or it's just flat?
It's not yet. So here's the terrible little thing about government. Everything is negotiated. And I didn't know this until I was actually in DC. I knew policies got negotiated. So do forms.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Making a change to a form is part of the.
Boy, that's going to be like changing the New Testament or the Old Testament.
Yes.
Right?
Now,
210?
Here's the upside to it. You know, they've already incorporated. I think it might be easier because, you know, the 210 is already generated electronically. Okay. Gone are the days where the case manager, like we did back in the old days, where you'd have a blank 210 and you'd fill out the stuff and then you'd pass it off to the unit secretary and she'd have to like muddle through your handwriting, which I always got cursed at. I had to print because my handwriting is so bad. Sarah, sometimes I can't read my own handwriting. But those days are gone. There's a form that 210 is a digital form and it populates some of the information already there. It pulls it out of the database system and drops it in things like the current release date. So yes, are they going to make those modifications? Yes. And because of the digital nature of it, it still has to go through a process, but because if it's there and importantly, it's already being calculated. So it's literally being exported can be exported out of the system and into the form.
And I just want to hear breakaway just 1 second. I'm going to be asking folks on our Facebook, folks that are recently released from custody, whether you're out of custody or you're in an RRC or home confinement, we're going to be asking you to tell us how much SCA time you got. Just to kind of hear what's really going on.
What were you recommended?
What did you get? Because we want to place our
Where are you?
Yes. And look, your geographical area can make a difference. It just does. If you're going to a place that there's hardly any bed space, that's going to be a problem. You're going to a place where there's tumbleweeds rolling to the halfway house. They need people to come. Man, you're going to get you know what I mean? So, and then there's your own personal characteristics on your own 5-factor review that are relevant to you. Your release plan, your home release plan. Was it approved? All this other stuff. That we got to look at.
Did you previously successfully or unsuccessfully complete halfway house? You know, those things make a difference to your history. Right. So, we're going to do that.
We'll be asking for that. And thank you for the cutaway because I'm interested to see the application. It just seems like it's not capricious, but it is individualized, right? Who gets what? But anyway, all right.
So the new entry after the SCA days and date information is the new SCA max statutory. I'm reading this directly. SCA maximum statutory home confinement placement days, if appropriate. And then in parentheses, it says less than 6 months or 10%. And in the case of the example I'm looking at, this person has a longer sentence. So they now, still have
the stacked. Is that, are they stacking? Is that wait, stacked?
Wait, they are, but we'll talk about that in a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute.
I know.
But in this line is the number of days. Okay. And this particular individual, it says 180 days and there is an asterisk by it. Why? Because the five factor review hasn't been done. Nothing has been done for this individual. Okay. So then after we skip, that's going to be the number of days for individuals serving less than that. It's their 10%. This is what is being calculated by Sentry, the database system is being calculated internal and it has a number and it's totally based on your sentence.
Okay. And so what sentence length does it usually just, or that's, it doesn't matter the sentence length.
It doesn't matter. It will calculate whatever 10% is up to the 180th day. And then it says, oh, you're at 180 days. You don't get to go to 181.
Gotcha.
Because it stops at 180. That's the maximum. Okay.
Yep. Good.
So then we jump into the FSA conditional placement days and date. Okay. This is the same from before, right? This is for the folks. They've gotten their 365 and now they're still earning time credits. And now they're earning time credits toward
halfway house
and home confinement, right? Halfway house and home confinement.
Right.
Placement. And it is going to calculate, again, it's going to give you a date. Now, the conditional transition to community date. This date, because of the default of 365 days under SCA last year, caused so much grief. Because now again, what are people looking at? 365 days for halfway house, however many days for FSA, that gives me this new date. That is gospel. That's what it says. That's what I'm going to get, right? Wrong.
Absolutely.
First off,
not. What
were they recommended? Okay. Yeah. It is still, even if your case manager recommends the full year under SCA,
which we've seen,
we see it. That's great. It's a hurdle. It's the first hurdle you got to get. You got to get the recommendation, right? Even if you get the recommendation, there is not a guarantee that that is going to happen. So when the reason they keep the conditional language in front of it is one, it's still being built based on conditional FSA days that you haven't earned yet. And two, it is based on the SCA days. So they take your FSA days and your SCA days and they create whatever the new conditional transition to community date is.
And then actual availability is going to be
right. But what this does, and remember, this is the planning section. What this does is it gives the case manager information about when the paperwork needs to be started. If I have a year off for time credits, I have 500 days toward halfway house, and I've got 180 days. That because I've got a place to go, my case manager is going to recommend direct home confinement. 500 plus the 180 is 680. We're not putting it on the case managers to do the math and figure out what day that is. The system calculates it and puts it on the paperwork, and then it's there. And then the case manager can plan accordingly. Now, does that mean as soon as you walk out of team, the case manager is going to start your paperwork? No, because they may have 12 people in front of you that have dates sooner than you. You know, you go into, and I say this, and people, I'm sure, just folks out there are cringing, but this is how it is. You go into the stack, and if the case manager is really good at what they do, it goes into the stack in date order. When I was a case manager, I literally, because I was had any time I probably had, geez, we were at the low. But I started it when I was at the camp. I probably had 20, 25 halfway house packets in process at any moment. And because the lows have a lot of activity and a lot of people are moving.
Oh, yeah.
And as soon as team was over, I was putting a slap and a routing sheet at the top, and I would, at the very top corner, I would have PRD, recommendation, estimated time to halfway house, due date. And I wrote it all out there. And then based on that, I found you in the stack, and that's where you went based on that due date, not based on your placement date. I did it based on the date that I had to get it done by policy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and today, like I said, I had to do all that hand figured out by hand. Now it's all available on a worksheet. There's so much case managers today have available. Oh, to be,
but you know, it doesn't mean it gets done though, does it? Right.
Well, and unfortunately, and we can talk about, you know, some of the issues that case managers are experiencing. And, I am at heart still a case management coordinator. It's what I did for 11 years after 10 years of being a case manager. There's still a lot of staff shortages. There's still a lot of training that needs to happen. And the biggest challenge with FSA is things keep evolving. And yes, the Bureau is creating more and more tools, which is fantastic, but more and more tools means more and more information. And I think case managers today are just getting inundated with data, and keeping up with the volume of data is challenging. I still would have loved to have it when I was a case manager, because I was kind of a data geek.
Of course.
But that's me. That's me. So moving down the form, once we get past that conditional placement date, we've got that new information, some more new information, the maximum statutory home confinement placement date, if appropriate. What is that date? That is whatever amount of home confinement you had that is added on or stacked on top of any FSA time, right? If we go back to the director's June 17th memo, which I personally was very excited to see, excuse me, it said FSA and SCA authority shall be applied cumulatively and in sequence, including home confinement. So what about the folks who aren't getting FSA time toward halfway house? They're only getting FSA time toward release. Are they still being stacked? Yes.
Yes.
But the FSA portion of the stacking is coming off the release, not the halfway house. So again, if I've got FSA halfway house and I'm getting 180 days of home confinement and I'm qualified for home confinement, and we talked about that a couple weeks back about being qualified for direct home confinement, they are adding those numbers together. And this date, this maximum statutory date with home confinement, again, gives the case manager what is the date that I need to plan to have the paperwork done for in order to assume a timely placement. That's what that is. That is, again, that's another piece of information that case managers didn't have and only got in the last, 5 weeks? It came out end of July.
So it's a planning tool. Doesn't mean you have anything coming.
Correct. The recommendation is made. If you receive a recommendation, you should be able to expect that paperwork to be completed on time and with that recommendation. If you're recommended for 120 days of SCA placement and for a direct home confinement placement, then that is a reasonable expectation to say, this is what I should expect. But what's coming isn't necessarily 120 days. What you have coming is a timely completed community referral. That's what you have coming. Yes.
People ask us all the time, can we get you more than what was recommended and signed off by the warden? And the answer is
no.
No. Cannot go beyond that.
The RRM offices, the Bureau staff, by policy, can give up to what the warden signed off on. Now, if someone's circumstances change, if the referral was submitted for a direct home confinement placement, but the individual was earning at the 10-day rate and the case manager was moving kind of quick and got that paperwork out of the institution. And now they're at the 15-day rate, and now the home confinement date has changed. Is that something that we do? Do we reach out to an institution to say, hey, it's awesome this was done, but his paperwork, his date's been updated. He's now earning at the 15-day rate.
It's upside down.
And now his home confinement is, right, he's upside down. We had a case very recently that the placement date was actually after his new conditional release date. And that's just because the case manager did it early in his incarceration, trying to be on the ball, trying to get things done, and they got it done too fast.
So I brought this up on one of the threads. I don't know if you saw it or not. But I want to make sure I say this correctly. Seems like there's a circumstance where if you're going with a direct home confinement, and that's what it says in the paperwork, but the person could have come out earlier had they elected just to go to RRC first and then go to home confinement on their eligibility date. Does that make sense?
That can happen, but the individuals who are being referred for direct home confinement don't need halfway house. And as we've talked about, second chance hack placement is a needs-based placement. So if we look at the director's memo going back to the June 17th, and everyone was very excited that he was talking about, you know, accumulative and in sequence, including home confinement. That's good. It also said we are going to reserve halfway house bed space for those needing the residential support of halfway house. That's what it's for. Halfway house under the Second Chance Act, and I think I've said this at least a dozen times, but I'm going to say it again because I was saying it as a case manager and I was saying it as a case management coordinator. Placement under the Second Chance Act is not a reward for good behavior. It is not a reward for completing programming. It is not a reason to get out of prison early. That is not what it's for. So when we talk about direct home confinement, these are individuals that are fine. That this was, they have, in most cases, they've got a reasonably short sentence. They've got a home to go to. They've got an intact family. Everything is fine. They're going to direct home confinement. Here's the funny story. That's what was happening before FSA. Everyone's all excited about, well, what do you mean I'm going to get less halfway house? If it weren't for FSA, nothing would have changed. Right. And you would have been getting direct. In fact, I know I was my last institution. Almost every single referral that came out of the camp.
10%.
Was 10% date. Yeah. Almost every single one. There was a handful of folks who, you know, maybe the relationship that they were in kind of fell apart as a result of that investigation and conviction. And so they were kind of starting fresh. That happened. But for the most part, I would say upwards of 80% of the folks in the camp left out to direct home confinement under 10% date. That was just standard. And for a lot of them, they preferred going to home confinement, and even if it meant getting less than going to the halfway house, because going to the halfway house has its problems, has its challenges.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
open bay dorms, noise, men
all
and
kinds
women together.
Of security level,
yeah.
All kinds of different security level. Well, usually the men and women are separate floors.
Well, but you know.
Shouldn't be anyway. But
come on, man. Come on. Yeah,
I'm just saying, should be. So, but, you know, and you're dealing with individuals of different security levels. You've been sitting in a camp your whole time as a white collar offender with other white collar offenders and maybe low level drug dealers. And now you're sitting in halfway houses with gang members and they're all freaked out.
And
I get it. So that's what I'm saying. Home confinement for someone, you know, that's in that kind of white collar background, low level first time offender, man, home confinement is the way to go.
But do you see how kind of antithetical it is? We're on one breath, we're saying, hey, there's something called the Second Chance Act, and you know, you might be able to do this, that, and the other. And then you say, no, that's not what it's for. It's actually, you know what I mean?
It's not antithetical. If we read the law, so this is the crazy part. Like, you know, I'm a geek. So
right.
You know me, I'm regularly like reading statute and reading court cases because, you know, I don't have anything better to do with my life in retirement. You know, if you read the law, again, it is not a reward. It is not a means to get out of prison early. It is that temporary, transitional, short-term placement to facilitate reentry into the community. It is for folks that need a roof over their head and a bed to sleep in because they don't have one. I used to talk to guys all the time and they would say, you know, I'd be like, okay, what's your release plan? And they'd be like, well, my brother's going to let me sleep on his couch until I can get myself together. I'm like, okay, that's great. I am glad your brother is being supportive, but you're an adult. So we're going to expect you to like get your own place because you're not going to live with your brother on your sleep on your brother's sofa or live at your mother's house. You know, you're 42 years old. So when I would write up my referrals, I would talk about in terms of five-factor review. Well, I didn't talk about five-factor review because we didn't have it back then, but I would talk about he has a temporary home plan, but will require assistance to get a permanent residency because your brother's sofa is not a permanent solution. Talked about it all the time. But for those that don't need it, they don't need it. And that's, you know, hard to hear because everybody wants to get out of prison as fast as possible. And we get that. But those folks getting out of prison as fast as possible also meant that other people didn't go at all. And that's what happened last year. We lost your sound. But that's what happened last year when the halfway houses had no bed space and it was all these FSA guys and folks who either weren't eligible for FSA at all or just weren't earning FSA toward halfway house. And because of the way they were doing home confinement, they couldn't get out to home confinement either. And it was just creating this logjam in residential reentry. So this was a good thing. All righty. That is the very last line. Like I said, is that what's your recommended home confinement date? And again, that is based on your eligibility for direct home confinement. And then of course in bold and they put it across there and nobody reads it. It still says default SEA conditional placement days requires five factor review. And nobody reads it.
Right.
So
there now has a zero. At least
now it has zero. Absolutely. Right. That was really a problem. And there was several of us that were trying to sway the prior director's opinion on that. And I get she was looking at it from one lens and the rest of us were looking at it from a different lens. Having worked in prisons with actual offenders, I understood that they're going to see a date and they're going to say, that's my date. And that's because that's what they do. And she didn't come at it from that perspective, but that wasn't her background working in the prison. So did want to mention one other date, and it's been on there for a little bit of time, and that is the 3621 CRP date. And that date will appear on any of the RDAP cases on their planning section. That is the date that they are expected to complete the residential program at the institution. Okay. That drives some of the other dates. So if you're getting
a guy, right, yeah,
if you're getting a full year off your sentence,
the next day he has to go
to get hit and to do his 120 days and then he's done. Now what happens with FSA, let me back up, with RDAP, you complete the institution portion and then you have to do a minimum of 120 days. What's happening for some folks is they have more time credits But if we give them all their time credits, it's going to eat into that 120 days, and then they're going to lose the year. So the Bureau truncates those. That's where it comes from. You get your 3621E, your year off first, and then you get your time credits up to that eligibility. So you might have 200 days of time credits available, but if we give you all 200, you're only going to serve 75 days in the halfway house. You got to serve the 120. Got to. And that can be home confinement. 120 days in pre-release.
Absolutely.
So that's super important. But again, that's all of that information. Now, you kind of aren't doing so well in RDAP and they push back your planned completion date. DTS does some paperwork, sends it up to Grand Prairie out in Texas, and they go ahead and update your record. And that information changes then.
Right.
So there was something else I was going to say.
But that was good though. Yeah.
No, there was something else I was going to say that popped into my head about the worksheet. And now I'm drawing a blank on it. I don't know.
Well, but I think that was a really clean and clear explanation of the items on the sheet. I think to take the time for you to share that with everybody just means so much. I know the listeners and viewers are going to like that a lot because it's like speaking another language. I know a lot of wives and family members, even a few lawyers out there, just furious and frustrated with all the bureau jargon and what does this mean and what does that mean and this is contingent on that. And I know, man, it's a pain, and we appreciate, but it is what it is, right?
Either Absolutely. You
jump in the river and you go down the river, or you just sit there and you're just going to get whatever the government gives you, and you don't know what's going on. So we need to let you know, hey, you know, this is what it means, and this is how you can, and again, this is how you can advocate for your loved one, but more importantly, how your loved one can advocate for themselves.
And speaking of that, we have started with all of our clients this last month. We've started this is take a and for those listening out there, share this with your loved ones. When they go to the halfway house, take with them as current a copy of their time credit worksheet, something that's after July. What is it? 25th, 26th, whatever date it was updated. That includes that home confinement information. The contract providers that handle halfway house do not have access to the First Step Act information. They do not have those credit days. So if you can walk in with the worksheet in your hand, this one is a one from one of our clients dated July 28th. If you can have that in your hand and say, nope, here it is right here, because they're all they have is the date, the home confinement eligibility, man. Based on your actual release date, right? Whether it's changing every month or it's the FSA release date with 365 days, but you're sitting there with 2 years, right?
Otherwise, they're just going to wait to hear from the RRM to release you.
Because right? what they have doesn't mean right. Because what they have is based on the actual release date and not the stacked good authorities.
Point. Oh, good point, man.
Carry that with you. Yeah. And then when you're talking to your case manager at the halfway house, you can be saying, yeah, here it is. I know you don't have all of this, but I brought this with me so that you could see it. My date is coming up. Absolutely. They can verify it.
They can verify it with RRM. They can say, hey, this guy came in. He says his date is this. Correct. So then,
and more than just saying
home confinement,
right? And more than just saying it, you've got the documentation, you've got the paperwork in your hand. So, please.
That's a wrap. All right, then. Very good. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
30 seconds left. All right. Another great episode. Come see us, Facebook group, our YouTube channel, First Step Act. We're on Apple Podcast, of course. All the shows are on LA Talk Radio. They're archived for you with the show summary and everything. So just keep coming back to the show. Thank you for stopping by and listening. Feel free to play it again or ask us questions on our early release First Step Act Facebook group.
We'll answer
questions there. You can ask.
We're looking at possibly having been able to live stream on our Facebook group for our members. So
and we may be live.
We may be able to do that. Might be new.
We're going to open up that technological marvel. All right. Well, with that, we bid everybody a great week. See you next time. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
You're listening to Federal Prison Authority Presents Around the Block with Bruce Cameron and Susan Giddings, only on LA Talk Radio.